Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm 57 and work construction, and I had a hip replacement and sore joints, not feeling too well. And I was limping around and feeling really depressed. I've tried different supplements and different things, but with Balance of Nature, my body just feels better. I don't limp. And it's kind of weird because at first I wasn't sure. And then a couple months into it, I just noticed I'm walking and I'm like, hey, man, I'm not like sore. I'm not limping, nothing. I'm sold on it. I've actually talked some family members into taking it and stuff. I'm walking and everything's great.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Check your political correctness at the door. It's time for the Kate Daly Show.
I don't know if you can tell by looking at me, but I'm a man. No, I am. It's easier to be a guy, really. I mean, there's sexism, but just the day-to-day life of being a woman, honestly, it looks too hard. Just hair, what a woman has to deal with hair, with cut and color and goos and potions. It's like, what does a guy have to do with his hair? Not have a mullet. That's all a guy has to do.
Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Oh, I love it. I have such a great hour ahead of you. You're just not going to want to miss this. I have Allison Armstrong. She's amazing. She is the relationship guru. She hates it when I call her that, but she is. And I adore her because not only was she the favorite of Prager, who I love. I love Prager. I'm Dennis Prager.
What do you mean, was?
Or I'm is. Telling. I'm sorry. Did I say was? Oh, my gosh. Yes. Still is. And, I mean, the fave. He just adores Allison as much as I do. And I will tell you this. She will be the one that will give you those moments of enlightenment that go, oh, this is what I need to do in my relationship. This is how I make it better. And she is the one in the country that I would turn to. If I ever had a question about relationships, Allison's the place to go. Allison Armstrong, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very well.
Good, good.
That's a short answer. I'm giving a guy answer.
Well, right? I love it, though. And
well,
it,
thank you. Good, great.
That's so true. One word. Oh, just fine. What does fine mean? We want to know the definition. So I have Allison on with me. I also have Dr. Paul Gooch, who is staying with us. He was just on for the last couple of hours of the show, and he's staying with us. And he'll be fun because he is a man.
Well, can I ask a question? Because I'm still laughing from your little gaffe thing,
oh,
right?
Oh, gaffe again.
So Allison, can you tell me why is it? I was having a really, really hard time finding time for a haircut.
Just don't do a mullet.
And I threatened my wife. I said, I'm just going to grow a mullet. And I got a dirty
oh,
look. So
yeah.
Anyway.
That's so bad.
Well, what do we do with that, Allison?
Well, if you look good, mm-hmm. we look good.
There you go. So true.
So you got to look good. So we have rules, uh-huh. and we think we have the right to express them. And if you really love me, you will follow my rules.
So
I found out recently, my boyfriend was not allowed, mm-hmm. definitely you see that in quotes, to wear a turtleneck or have a beard in his marriage. He was not allowed to do that.
Ooh.
And women actually think they can set those kinds of rules about somebody else's body, that we have the right to do that. Because if you look good, mm-hmm. I look good. And if you look bad,
right.
My status tanks. And I'm a herd animal. So status is everything.
That's so true,
Well,
though.
My wife's... You know, I was born in a barn, so it's only been better.
It's only been better.
Like, she's actually helped the way I look
when
I go to work, right?
Can you strongly urge? I'm just asking for a friend.
Can you strongly urge that a change be made?
Yes. I mean, can I say I don't love beards?
Record?
Yeah, but I mean, can you say that? Or, I mean, you can say that, you just can't be controlling, right?
Yeah, expressing a preference is one thing.
Okay.
I think you look sexier in.
Yes.
I think you look sexier as. Sexy is actually a really good word to use. Because one of the things women don't know is that their men want to be thought of as sexy.
Right.
And women are so worried about, do you think I'm sexy? We don't know. You want to know, do I think you're sexy?
Mm.
And so, yeah, as usual, women don't use the words that mean the most to men.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. A lot of words we won't use, and they're the ones that communicate to men.
Can you talk about substance versus form? Because I think this is so genius. By the way, Allison has many, many, what's the word for them? Not like a webinar. Is it, would you say webinar, or would you say, webinar series maybe?
Well, we have over 100 hours in our webinar curriculum.
Curriculum. Right? So that's the word
men,
I was looking
understanding
for.
Understanding women,
yes.
Understand love and commitment, sex and intimacy. I mean, it goes on and on. We have over 100 hours in our webinar curriculum, but we also have, I don't even know how many hours of audio recordings, because every time I learn something in the last 30 years about men that I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody has to know this, I would record a conference call, and then we'd edit it. And so things like the appreciation equation, the cure for complaining, coughing up the truth, all these recordings, hours and hours and hours of them, are on our website.
Taking
and,
notes.
I'm a little factory.
Yes, you are. And I mean, it's just one mind-blowing thing after the next. And that's why I hope people really turn to you. Where can people, before we get rolling, where can people find you?
Well, they can go to AllisonArmstrong.com. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the newest stuff.
Okay.
If you go to Audible or iTunes, you'll get the stuff up until 2012.
Okay.
So it's old stuff, but it's still worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube, there's so much stuff on YouTube and our channel on YouTube and stuff like
if
that.
If you go to AllisonArmstrong.com, under the curriculum is your first step with Allison, understanding men and women. And then you go into understanding sex and intimacy and love and commitment. But you're doing yourself a great disservice out there if you are not checking in and listening as even like a date night to Allison, because Allison's really going to help you understand what each other needs and how we're wired and how differently we're wired. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I really do want to say that. I love being a woman. I love that I'm married to a man. I love that he's a man. I love that he is seriously a fantastic man. I'm lucky. I'm a lucky girl. And let me tell you, I love the differences, and we need to understand the differences. And women need to stop being men, and men need to be men. And I can't say that enough. It's vital. We need that. And it's okay. We'll work through the stuff that we don't get about each other, but we need to, cherish those roles. We were just talking about the book written in the 1700s where he cherished his wife, where he was looking at his wife and how supportive his wife was and just watching her with his kids. And this was in the mid 1700s as they were plowing and farming and so forth. And he was so grateful for her that he actually wept, because he had such respect and love for her. And we didn't need the feminazis to save us. They have actually downgraded us women, and our role and what we're extraordinary at. What is your feeling on that?
Well, I think we threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the upside of what happened if you consider in the early 1900s, women were thought to be too stupid to learn how to type.
Mm-hmm.
That was there.
Right.
When the YWCA wanted to teach women how to type, they're like, no, too dumb, can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of that and you think of us being property, which mm-hmm. we were for so long, and where we've gotten to, which in my world, what I'm committed to, which is partnership,
mm-hmm.
partnership isn't possible in the presence of dependency. And as long as women didn't have the opportunities that we have to possess and to earn and to achieve and have status on what I would call the productive status ladder mm-hmm. instead of the related to status ladder,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Like who are you married to versus what you've accomplished yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Until we were able to play in both domains and to support ourselves, that sense of dependency actually brought out the worst in women.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have a chance. We have a chance to be partners, to be on the same team, to bring out the best in each other. The problem is, and this is what I'm interacting with all the time, is how old the instincts are that has a woman look at a man and judge him from moment to moment. Are you a protector or an attacker? Are you a protector or an attacker? Are you a protector or an attacker? And a man can raise his voice, and he goes from a protector to an attacker. And so he goes from being supported to either, you know, fight or flight,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's until we're aware of how much our instincts are at play, and this is where the form versus substance comes from that we were mm-hmm. chatting about before we started, and they'll wonder, what is that? What is that if you don't actually have me answer it? These are all instincts at play, and until we're aware of how compelled we are, we miss all the moments that we could have made a better choice. We'll just act out our instincts. And I've watched it for 30 years, and it's so sad. Mm. Can I give you an example?
Please. Yes.
I was talking to one of my customers earlier today, and her daughter's 12 and has started her period.
Mm-hmm.
And she's miserable, and her mom doesn't know what to do. And I was like, okay, well, the first thing to understand is that since she started her period, she has full-on procreate instincts.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a herd animal.
Mm-hmm.
And in a herd, it's the females who decide who's worthy of mating.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, seriously, this is how it works, right? In a herd of horses, if the mare doesn't have enough status to deserve to mate, the other mares will break her ribs, kicking her out from underneath.
Hmm.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
I know from
and
experience.
Human beings do the same thing. Mean girls. It's called mean girls.
Yeah.
So this is why young girls are terrified of what other girls think of them. And it's a real terror. It's a survival instinct. And as we get older, our biggest fear is if we, you know, love a man or want to be with a man, what will his sisters think of me?
Mm.
What will his ex-wife think of me? What will his daughter think of me? Does his mother approve of me? Because instinctually, we know the odds are they will decide if I'm acceptable.
Hmm.
And there are even movies where, like, the big victory is that the man chose the woman, even though all the women in his life hated him.
Right, right. Hmm.
It's all instinct. And it causes so much tension between, like, daughters-in-laws and mothers-in-laws. And, you know, in this case, this young woman, this very young woman who does not know what is the source of her misery and her terror, like, that she's got to be liked by every girl at school.
Hmm. Boy, that's fascinating. Paul's nodding his head. So when we come back after the break, describe substance versus form. We'll get into that.
Okay.
I want you to answer that. And because you know why? Because it's so fascinating. You know, if you're young and married, if you are newly married, if you're seniors and you're married, we all have our different challenges with marriage and all the steps along the way. And so these are the basics. I think these are the basics that you have to understand about each other in this partnership we call marriage. Be right back with Allison Armstrong. Isn't she great? Allison Armstrong, spelled with one L, Allison. By the way, AllisonArmstrong.com. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
This is the preferred love song today. What can we say?
Dan's going to love that you played that.
Oh, gosh. I love it. Preferred love song. All right. I love that suggestion, Allison. Thank you. And I've got Dr. Paul Gooch with us still today on a Friday. I've got, and by the way, you made it to your Friday. Congratulations. I know you live for the weekend. Here it is. And I also have Allison Armstrong on with us, who is always a gift. Once a month, she comes on the show and just really gives me a lot of food for thought. And I really love that about her. And Paul was saying the same thing. He listens to Allison's, to the podcast we
I'm
post
always
after
gobsmacked.
The show.
And then I always like, I'm texting it to my wife and saying, please listen to this. Please
yeah,
listen to
right?
Because I get
That's
so much
I feel
out,
too.
Yeah.
I feel
and
I'm the
like,
same way.
Dude, people don't know this. I didn't know a lot of this stuff.
Right.
But it's almost self-evident when you hear it.
I know.
So thank you, Allison. Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome. And are you from the Midwest?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just grew up right smack dab in the middle of Utah.
Well, I just have only heard gobsmacked from Midwest.
Oh, well, I'm well-traveled.
What can you say? He's well-traveled.
I'm well-traveled.
I love it.
Okay,
well,
awesome.
We've got the wonderful Allison Armstrong on, AllisonArmstrong.com. And let me just say, there's a lot to learn from Allison, and she does these wonderful seminar webinars that you can be a part of, and you can go join right now because you're going to learn so much from her. And this is why, even in once a month, I can't even get to everything, all the questions I have the whole month previous leading up to one of your visits. So we were talking about substance versus form and the basics of relationships in this partnership, because this partnership's going to change, right? You're going to be newly married. You're going to be married for a long time. You're going to go into senior years married and empty nesters. There's all kinds of different steps in, of this partnership we call marriage, but the basics are the same. So substance versus form, I would say, is one of those basics.
Well, it's one of the biggest differences between how men and women tend to pay attention to relationships.
Okay.
And this links to this instinct, this herd instinct where status is life or death. And so as women, we pay attention to form. We pay attention to, so what do we call each other? How are we introduced? What is my standing with you? Do I have a ring on my finger? How long have we been married?
Mm.
Right? So, like you were talking about Paul being newly married.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought you were talking about months. No, he's been newly married for 3 years.
Right.
But to someone who's been married for decades, mm-hmm. which has much higher status to have been married for so long. I mean, a 3-year marriage, that's fragile.
Right.
That thing could still break, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have decades under our belts, you know, we have a higher status amongst women, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why a woman will be pressing for, are you my boyfriend? You know,
okay.
Are you my boyfriend? Am
yeah.
I your boyfriend? Are we going steady? It's
what
been 9 months. It's time to get engaged.
Mm.
And really, there's a clock that's ticking, and it has a lot to do with the gestation of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so Valentine's Day, right?
Sure.
Just 10, 12 days ago, a disaster for anybody who's been together around 9 months or more. And there's actually a woman who was upset that the man she'd been seeing for 10 months wouldn't commit because they'd been seeing each other for 10 months. That's all that mattered to her. By 10 months in, he should know if I'm the one.
Hmm.
Like, it's not the passage of time that men are looking at. Men are looking at most of the 12 things that make a woman the right person. None of them is passage of time. They're all real. They're all substantive. Can I get what I need from her? Can I win at giving her what she needs? Do I make her happy? Does she emasculate me too much? Are we going in the same direction? That's one of the biggest things.
Mm.
Women expect a man to marry them, and they're actually sometimes even denigrating the direction he's going. Oh, well, he thinks he's going to be a policeman, but we're going to fix that.
Ooh.
Right? He's dreamt of being a policeman since he was 8 years old.
Right.
He's really intent on being a policeman, and he knows she doesn't want him to be a policeman. And she expects that he'll marry her, not knowing, hello, this is a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
You don't support me in being filling in the blank. So the tendency of men is to pay much more attention to, how is this going to support my life? How is this going to support my goals and my visions? Will I be better off? It's very logical. Will I be better off with her than I am without her? Mm. And, I mean, to a woman, this sounds cold. This sounds really cold. What about love? I'm sorry. Love doesn't carry the day. People are miserable. People who love each other are miserable because why? Because they fundamentally can't give the other person what they need. They can't give them enough attention, or they can't give them enough of support, or they can't give them enough family, right? Or they just can't give them enough time to create enough connection to make her feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's all these things that human beings honestly need, right? Need being that huge benefit by it being met, huge consequence by it not being met. And men are much better at paying attention to, can I give her what she needs? Can she give me what I need? Is it too hard to get what I need? It's just too hard to get what I need. Why would anyone sign up for a lifetime of it being too hard to get what you need from somebody else? You're better off on your own. Because men take commitment, relationship, even being a boyfriend. The difference between a man who's dating and a man who says, this is my girlfriend, is huge in his natural behavior. And one of the things I'm unraveling for singles all the time is he's dating and she thinks he's her boyfriend, and she keeps trying to hold him to account for boyfriend accountabilities.
Right.
And he's dodging them because he's never said he was her boyfriend. He never took on having a girlfriend, the responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, so men who are dating, what are you responsible for? Showing her a good time for however many hours you're on that date. That's your job. What's your job in between dates? I don't have a job between dates. I have my job between dates. I have my life between dates.
Mm.
When I'm on a date, I show her a good time. The rest of the time, I have no responsibilities. But to a woman, you didn't call me today. You didn't text me today. You didn't text me back for 5 hours.
Right.
And she thinks it's reasonable to hold him to account for that because we've been seeing each other for 3 months. Aren't you my boyfriend by now?
Do men fundamentally want to assess that information to get to a step, or would they be more inclined to put it off as long as they could in the space of the unknown as long as they could?
No, it's mythical. Either one is mythical.
Okay. Okay.
So there are men who are, in fact, hunting wives.
That's true.
I have a 32-year-old in my Smart Singles program who's like, how did I get to be 32 years old and not have found my partner yet?
Okay, no, that's true. That's true. You will meet,
but
you will meet guys like that. That's
true. He thinks he's so old. I was cracking up. I'm like, what's the urgency? And he's like, what do you mean urgency? I'm really laid back. And I like played it back for him, the quote. So yes, there are men who are hunting a wife and they have a timeline because that's how they think.
Okay.
There are other men who are hunting for a wife because their vision of life is to have a partner, is to build with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a very small percentage of marriages are actually partnerships. They're more alliances between adversaries. They're not on the same team. That's, you know, a whole other topic. But there are a lot of different approaches to being married. The way one man put it was, well, when it's great and it keeps being great, you just want it to be great forever. Right?
So right.
This organic process, like, why would I ever want to live without you? Life is so much better with you. And this is the source also of the saying that when a man and woman get married, she's hoping he'll change and he's hoping
she won't.
Yeah.
No, that's the truth.
And this is the thing that when you told me about Paul being newly married, this is why I brought this up, because we have these sets of ideals, okay? We call it the ideal woman and the better man. And men hold themselves to these standards of what they think are good values, excellence, greatness, performance. And so they have the voice in their head that, you know, will say, well, a better man would have. And this is how they judge themselves and hold themselves to account. Well, a better man would have gotten in the stock market earlier, would have gotten out of the stock market earlier. A better man would have been there for his son no matter what. A better man would have, fill in the blank, right? He's got a better man as a standard. Now, here's another difference between form and substance. When I've interviewed men about their better man, their better man is actually a composite of the qualities they admire in real men. So they actually have examples. So he has a body like this
right,
guy.
Right, like so-and-so.
He's an investor like this guy. He's a businessman like this guy. He has the, you know, the heart of Gandhi. He has the, right? And they actually mention real men with real qualities. Women, we have a judge in our head who is the perfect amount of the perfect quality at the perfect time. And there's no real woman who's ever measured up to the critique in our head.
That's so
it's
true,
nothing,
though.
That nothing is, to do yeah. with reality, right? And
right.
And what happens is, this is the person who decides how a woman needs to change. Well, now that you're his girlfriend, these are the things you should be doing. Now that you're engaged, you should be doing this, and he should be doing that. Why isn't he doing that? Isn't he really engaged? Isn't he really committed? He asked you to marry him. Why hasn't he started doing the things that a fiance is supposed to do? So again, the form is this whole job description.
So we think he got
the job description, but no one ever gave him the job description. He thought he was just supposed to keep being a good man.
Right.
And then when she gets married, there's a whole other set of ideals for her and for him. And so there's new fights. I've seen people who've been happy together for 20 years and then they got married. Two years later, they're divorced.
Oh, I've seen that too.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen that too. And you're talking about expectations. And so the woman's expectation is what is in her mind, what she's created, the monster she's created. And then the guy's expectation is all these different men that he looks to for these expectations, right?
This is resonating with me. I'm just listening.
These are things that he admires and he'll hold himself to, but mostly, okay, so here, Paul, you could probably speak to this. One of the things that mystifies women because of our instincts is loyalty.
Okay.
And one of the things that men are looking for in the woman that they're going to marry and that they're married to is loyalty. They think at the very least, that's what she should be, is loyal to me. Not knowing that a woman's instincts are, I'll back you. Of course I'll back you when you're right.
Boy, you nailed that.
Because from a woman's point of view, if you're wrong, I better jump horses. If you're wrong, I will die with you.
Okay.
So I better jump off just before you go off the cliff.
We're gonna come right back because I want to hear what Paul has to say. We're right back. Kate Daly Show. By the way, Allison Armstrong with us. Isn't she great? AllisonArmstrong.com. Just a moment.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Listen to those words? Of course you did, because we have Allison Armstrong on. You listened to every word. I was going to play Love Stinks, but I didn't. I opted for an old Paul McCartney. There you go. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you get over to Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature, what an awesome supplement. And you can put the code KATE and you can get free shipping and 35% off if you put in the code Kate. Same with MyPillow. MyPillow, Mike Lindell and I have partnered up, and he's what an asset to the show he is. I interviewed him last Friday. He's such an amazing guy, and his new movie is out. And by the way, you can put in the code Kate, and you can order pillows and sheets and all of those things, right? Mattress toppers and mattresses and down comforters and even a dog bed. And you're going to buy them anyway? Go and buy them from MyPillow. Put in the code Kate. Get all the discounts, and you'll support this show and keep it on the air. And you'll also support Mike Lindell in all of the things he's doing to support values in this country. And I love that. I have the great Allison Armstrong on from AllisonArmstrong.com and UnderstandingMen.com. And let me just tell you what a thrill it is to always have her on, because we get the gift of Allison, but she just makes so much sense. And whenever I have her on, I learn something, and I'm usually talking about it that night with my husband. I have Dr. Paul Gooch with us today as kind of a special, a special Friday surprise. You know, he's he is the male in this.
I just wanted this to trio. I love this. I didn't want to miss any of them.
Right? Yeah. But Paul is awesome, and getting kind of Paul's, you know, take on the guy that, you know, we're talking about men versus women and men and women working together, partnerships, I really should say, instead of versus. Let me rephrase that.
Can we hear what he has to say? Because we left off with talking about loyalty. And
yes.
So woman loyal is, you know, I got your back when you're right.
Yeah,
and
no, I
women don't know that it's, well, no, you got my back even when I'm wrong. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Please,
yeah, no, I that's exactly how I feel inside, and that's exactly how she responds. I mean, you
really
nailed it to a T. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So we might have words when we get home, but she's awesome about it.
Right.
Well,
but it's true, though.
The image I like, Paul, is, and you'll see it in a movie from time to time, mm-hmm. where there's these two guys, they're back to back in a bar, in a fight, and one of them is saying over his shoulder to the other, "You idiot, I can't believe you did this again." But he's still there back to back duking it out. Even though this is his best friend, the idiot who always, you know, tries to pick up on the bad guy's girl, right?
Right.
And but he's still there, like, you're wrong and I'm still here. That's what loyalty is. And I asked a bunch of men once, "What has you say he's like a father to me?"
Mm-hmm.
What has you say that about a man?
Right.
And what they said basically was, because he care a man who cares enough to tell me when I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
it.
So yeah, women want dads to never criticize their sons. They went, "Oh, he needs unconditional love."
Right.
You know, getting an award for everything, it doesn't actually create esteem in young men. It's someone who says, "You're valuable enough for me to go out of the way to say you're better than this."
Well, so I think this is kind of tied to it, but we were alluding to this in the break. But what about a man and productivity and how the relationship affects that?
Well, let me just start with productivity, because this is something that illuminate so many parts of life, which Kate was referring to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like to call it hunting mode, because women take it on as well. But when we're in a committed state of mind, when our lives are about producing results, making things happen, providing for others,
mm-hmm.
we experience being safe from being productive, from that we think we're productive, we feel productive. But one of the things that's also was stunning to me when I realized it just flew out of my mouth, but it's also a matter of time. So you can have a man who externally looks incredibly successful, and he's depressed. And he's depressed because when he looks in his life, all mm-hmm. his productivity is in his past. He doesn't see any productivity in his future. Maybe he's retired, he's about to retire,
right.
Or his testosterone levels are falling and he doesn't feel ambitious, or opportunities seem like they're disappearing. So he can have amassed all these signs of success and be depressed because when he looks in his future, he's not going to be productive.
Boy, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and then more like in an immediate present, this is where we have conflicting instincts, right? A woman will interrupt a man in order to connect with him,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that she just inhibited diminished his productivity by interrupting his focus.
Oh.
And so he'll get upset. Like, she's trying to feel safe by feeling connected, but she just did the thing that threw him off his horse by interrupting his productivity. Mm. And then it's the attempts to connect end up in a fight or an upset or a huge disconnect instead, because he needs to be supported in his productivity, and he'll actually say she supports me because she does things that allow me to be more productive, which could be as simple as setting a sandwich beside him and then fading away without needing credit for the sandwich, just feeding him.
Right.
So he can keep you productive.
A nice thing to do out of love.
A very nice thing to do. And one woman confessed that how she emasculated her husband was by withholding food.
Jeez.
And, you know, most wives withhold sex. She withheld food on purpose. She would not feed him. And these are things we consider, you know, in this day and age, are beneath us, you know, to feed a man.
Right. Well, the feminazis consider
it. Not if we're on the same team.
The feminazis consider it to be slavery, whereas I look at it like I make my man a sandwich because I love him and he's probably hungry and I'm in the kitchen and I'm fine to do it. I mean, I'm not a slave. I'm operating out of love, right? Concern and love and taking care of somebody. It's funny how we can all look at things so differently.
Those competing instincts. Well, I'm just going to give a shout out to my wife because even though it might not be instinctual to her, she seems to get it. I mean, it takes almost all of my mental faculties. Like, I'm kind of used up by the time I get done at the end of the day at work.
So why you need man cave time.
And I've heard you talk about needing to go home and just like have that 30 minutes to unwind or whatever. You got to slip your brain into neutral or something so you can recharge your battery. But she recognized sometimes all the relationship work is also exhausting. And like, I'm trying to save my, I'm trying to save my reserves for going out there and making the living.
Yes. And that, but by the way, my husband and I traded roles and I cannot tell you the amount of stress. All those women who go, oh no, we have it much worse. We're up with the kids all night. No. You don't know what it's like to be in charge of a family 24/7 and never get that elephant off your back. And you are constantly stressed in your mind about providing. And it is, it's hard. And being on both sides of that, I can tell you from experience, it's tough. And I got a whole new revelation when it came to which role is harder. They're not harder. They're different. But man, they both have their own unique stresses. It's true.
It's the truth.
It's the truth.
Yeah. And so can I, you always want me to give something practical.
Yes.
Can I give you something practical?
Please. Yeah.
So you're talking about partnerships over time. Okay. And we have this distinction that I call deal making, right? Like, let's make a deal. And if you want to write something down, write down values plus circumstances.
Okay.
Equal deals.
Okay. Values plus circumstances equals deals.
Equal deals. Okay. Yeah. So the first thing that any couple's got to do is align on their values. Like, what are the values that are going to rule the day? Right? Like, these are the ones we're going to make our decisions based on. So if you can't agree on what values you're going to base your decisions on, this is hopeless. Conflict will be endless.
Okay.
Which is on Audible. Like, the first thing to do is align on the values that are going to be the basis of our life. And then once you've done that, right, you have aligned values. For example, Greg and I both have the value of freedom and the value of self-expression. And so in raising our family together, safety ruled, because safety is survival. And then after that, it's freedom and self-expression. And so we would make our decisions, we would apply those values to whatever the circumstance was in our life that we didn't like how it was going.
Okay.
Right? You can, anywhere in your life that you're like, ugh, that sucks the life out of me. That's no fun. That's no good. You can make a deal, right? And the phrase is, well, if I had it all my way, right? If I had it all my way when I woke up in the morning, you would stay in our bedroom. I would slip out of bed, close the door, and go get to putter around the kitchen and the living room and the rest of the house for an hour.
Sure.
If you wake up, don't come out. Just leave me alone.
I feel you.
I'll leave a snack by the bed if you need it, if you're hungry. But just leave me alone to collect myself, right?
Sure.
If I had it on my way. Mm-hmm. And then, and what that would provide for me is this, and then you turn it over to the other person. Well, if I had it on my way, I'm fine with all your way, except for, could you snuggle me?
Right.
Could you, like, scooch over and snuggle with me for 7 minutes? I just need 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just snuggle up to me for 7 minutes and then slip out of bed and go do that.
Right.
Okay. So is there anything you need? No. Would it, wow, this is a great deal. Right? And
right.
Both people are all happy because the other person's like, oh, after you leave and I've been snuggled, I could read my book.
Right.
Or I could go back to sleep, or I could listen to a podcast, or I could, right? Mm-hmm. There's all these things that could happen. And I mean, literally every single circumstance. This is how we transformed dinner time in my household, which was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we transformed the way we communicated about sex.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we transformed planning. Because most women don't know that men plan and then they commit to the plan, but they don't have Robert's Rules of Order, so they don't, like, yes, you know what it is. So they don't say, you know, may I have a motion? Do I have a second? All those in favor say aye. No. He does all this silently.
Yeah.
Right,
he commits to the plan, and then the plan's on a need-to-know basis, which nobody needs to know it. He's just going to execute it.
He's just cracking up.
Well,
so true.
My wife is the consummate deal maker.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Oh, it's so true, though. It's just such, you're exactly right.
And I'm
right.
The consummate silent planner.
You're the consummate silent planner.
Good job being a man.
Holy.
And you have to conceal your plan so nobody tries to foil them.
Right.
That's a basic instinct. Conceal everything that's important so it can't be used against you.
That's why that
and,
is.
But, Kate, I do need to say in this form and flow,
okay.
Men and women will ask me, so when should you start making deals?
Okay. What do you
say? Before you ever have the first date.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Like, I'd love to see you. I'd love to get together with you. I'd love to have a Zoom call with you. I just need to be done by 7:30. Okay. Is there anything you need to make sure we're hanging out by 7:30? Well, just remind me. Well, when would I remind you? About 7:25. Okay, how would I remind you? You just say, oh, remember, I got to be off at 7:30. Okay, all right, deal.
So you're letting each other know your expectations. You're putting it out there. You're making this deal, and this enables the partnership to thrive. You're both on the same page.
I just wouldn't say expectations, because they're like bunny rabbits. Expectations breed more expectations. They're very
so
destructive.
Okay.
So you're letting the other person know what you actually need.
Ah, great way to put it. Okay.
I need this.
Okay.
And you find out early on, do they care what you need? And one of the things we've found out is that when someone's just sexually attracted or someone's just economically attracted, they don't care what you need. They'll go, what do you have to be off at 7:30 for? Why do you got to do that? Don't be a spoil sport.
That's so
Instead
true.
Instead of how can I give you what you need, they're like, how can I run over your need? How can I remove the obstacle of your need? And that's an excellent way to find out immediately, does this person care about me at all?
Boy, I wish we had another hour on this. I really do. There's so much to say.
I'm just sitting here gobsmacked.
I know, right? Gobsmacked again. See? AllisonArmstrong.com. That's one L, Allison. AllisonArmstrong.com. You just have to go to the website, and you must do this for a date night. You really need to. You'll be hooked. The Queen's Code, all kinds of wonderful writings from Allison. Find them. They are so popular in America and all over the world. Thank you, Allison. You're the best.
You're welcome.
You're
good to be with you. Thanks for hanging with us, Paul.
So great.
So
be faithful. Be fearless. See you back here on Monday.
The 20. 20-